Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we may sound a little differently. We are temporarily recording from my dining room. And I now have a whole room dedicated to just dining in, having recently moved house.
Yes.
Yes, I did. You just helped me demolish a hideous old couch.
Yeah, a couch. Now, there are disagreements about this, because your partner and I thought it was a fine couch. Not an excellent couch, but certainly a fine couch.
It was a hideous couch.
The upholstery was very mid-90s. I will give you that. But, I mean, you could just make a slipcover.
No, it was an awful couch.
Instead, we spent an hour attacking it with a
crowbar, a sheer body weight.
And a hacksaw, which was actually a hacksaw for steel, but whatever. We used a hacksaw on a couch because it was too large to fit up the staircase. How it got in there in the first place, I do not know. But mostly we just scratched up your floor.
Yeah, which is not great, but, you know, better the floor than the wall,
I guess. Think. No, walls are easier to repair than floors, quite broadly, because then you just spackle a little bit. Well, you have to have the matching paint. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Either way.
Yeah.
Well, I want to apologize to our listeners for the delay in getting our show up and running last week. There also seems to be a trouble with our Podbean.
Oh, yeah?
Your mother Facebooked me for the sole purpose...
My actual mother mother?
Our regular listeners would know that we call our super fans Sebastian's mum.
Yeah.
Because we know that Sebastian's mum is the leader of our super fans.
Mm-hmm.
The queen bee of our super fans.
Apparently, yes.
Sebastian's mum, the OG, as it were,
okay,
reached out to me because our Podbean comments section seems to be not working. I haven't figured out why yet, but we are working on it. So thank you to the OG Sebastian's mum.
Mm-hmm.
It is appreciated.
I mean, there's always Twitter and Facebook.
This is true. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because I was moving
Instagram,
last week.
It seemed weird because we talked about it for like 30 seconds and it was like, we do audio.
Yeah.
And Instagram is images. What are we going to do?
The short video clips now, but I mean...
Okay, yeah, maybe things have changed a bit. But when we first had the discussion, you were like, we should consider it. And I was like, I just did, just now. The answer is, it does not fit the format.
I don't know if podcasts lend themselves well to Instagram, but we'll see.
Not really, no.
So we decided to play a really old episode. There were some good interviews about the future of Canadian media. And it's interesting to think about, hear that interview and realize how it compares to now. But I remember during the start of this show, you hear me saying, and I quote, 2016, oh my God, it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as we're barreling towards the end of 2020, thank God for that, I don't know. Which one do you think shapes up as the worst? 2016, where all that really happened... was that Trump was elected, and
yeah,
of course Brexit happened, versus 2020, where there was a global pandemic, everyone's in lockdown, the economy's in tatters, everyone's been isolated, alone, devastated. Not that I'm selling it, but yeah, like, which one do you think is the actual worst?
You're really not going to like my answer. But I've read a book.
You're going to say like 1742 or something.
No. I've read a book at some point.
I don't know. I don't trust you.
And I can tell you that it was just generally bad from about 1925 until about 1955. Sometimes you just get a bad run.
Are you sure you're not starting like surely 1916 or 1918? Like, I feel like the First World War should be in your...
Yeah, but then there's the Roaring Twenties. They had a brief period of... Hooray! Actually, if you go back and listen to music from like 2012-ish, every single song was about a party. It was the partyingest year in history, and that happened in between the 2008 crash.
Well, everyone was talking about the Mayan calendar, about the end of the world back in 2012, and then, of course, the world didn't end in 2012.
Do you remember the rapture meme, when there was the guy who said that we were all going to go to heaven?
Yes, we're all going to be raptured, and then a bunch nothing happened.
Teenagers went to the Salvation Army, got a bunch of used clothes, and put, like, raptured empty clothes all over town.
I didn't see that,
though. Didn't see that? Okay.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. I mean, I remember looking forward this time in 2019, thinking, you know what? 2020, you know, people say retrospect 2020. 2020 is like the vision where you realize things like, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. And a part of me was thinking, you know what? I think 2020 is going to be a year of like self-evaluation and like moving forward, doing more traveling, seeing family more, neither of which have happened.
No, no.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do think that 2021, 2022, once this these vaccines get rolled out, we are going to see some amazing changes. I don't believe that 2021 is going to be the big post-plague party.
No.
I don't. Well, I think that's too soon. Well. But I can tell you that there are homosexuals like myself looking at the summer of 2022.
Yeah.
And we're going, that's that, those pride parades in 2022.
Are you booking ahead?
I'm booking ahead. I'm going to be, you know what? We've talked about this before. I'm going to do a pride tour, Montreal, Toronto, small towns.
Would you rather do better. Rio or Sydney? Because it's Sydney. Expensive. Sydney. You can't do both.
Sydney, hands down. I don't know.
Rio and Tel Aviv both have really good reputations in terms of parties.
This is true.
But something actually that's come up recently that I think is very interesting is that this is the year of the hard reset. And this is something I've been through myself before. And it's kind of interesting watching the whole world go through it. So when I was 23, I moved to Japan. And while I was there, I tried to engage as much as I could with Japanese culture. So while I was gone, Paris Hilton turned into a thing and I got back and I was like, what did she do that made her famous? And people like, she's famous for being famous. And I was like, no, yeah, that's
really
stupid.
It's really hard to put your finger on it. Yeah. Paris Hilton
is, and like mumblecore rap started up and like all sorts of things happened while I was gone. And when you're disconnected during that period where you're not engaged in pop culture, you just step outside for about a year, you come back and you're like, this is all really bad. And this is something that's actually happening now. A lot of people are starting to look at celebrity culture, Hollywood. They're looking at the New York TV culture, like the CBS kind of, like that sort of thing. They're looking at, even to a small degree, at youth culture and hookup apps. And because people can't engage with them, they're kind of stepping back going, why did we give so much importance to all this stuff that kind of made life worse? It's like the idea that, you know, the more you read beauty magazines, the more ugly you feel. Like, it doesn't teach you how to feel beautiful or become beautiful or anything. It just teaches you that
it creates a false standard.
You can't afford the kind of clothes and makeup and watches and jewelry that you would need in order to feel beautiful. And I think a lot of people, because it is the year of track pants and going 4 months longer between haircuts
the COVID
than you
pounds
want.
And yeah. The extra COVID hair. And yeah, everyone has vegged out.
Yeah. This year. Yeah. And there are a lot of, like, I've seen this on some of the online communities where people are like, wait a minute, why did we like Lady Gaga again? What did she do?
You know what I find quite interesting is at the start of this pandemic, everyone is like, wow, you know, lockdown, I'm going to learn how to bake sourdough, or I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to, you know, paint my house. Or people were talking about being really, you know, because we often as adults were like, oh, you know, if only I had time to pursue my passion of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And then you're literally stuck at home with nothing but time.
Yeah.
Like court mandated time at home.
And you still don't do it.
And you still don't do it. And you know what? The biggest thing that I've taken out of 2020 is that's okay. You know what I mean? You know, maybe it's just the millennial in me, but the world has had a really tough time this year.
Yeah.
Like, the news is unbearably negative because the world has been unbearably negative in some ways. We have some really good news that I will be sharing later in the show. But I think that queer folks who have been stuck at home, and anyone who's been stuck at home, and maybe don't feel like they've achieved much, maybe they feel like they've become isolated, that's okay. You know, I think that's the biggest, you know, retrospect 2020 is going to be that it's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. The year might have been the worst, but we're okay.
And, you know, some of that stuff, like all the stuff you meant to do but didn't do, like, a lot of that is aspirational. I think everybody has a list of 50 things they want to do, two of which they actually have the intent to do. It's like when people find out that I can knit, they're like, oh, I've always wanted to learn how to knit. And it's like, you are X number of years old. You've had all this time. If you were going to learn, you would have by now. It's aspirational. If you want to, I will teach you. But like, don't
You have to commit. Yeah. And I think there was a certain point in your life where you have to commit to things.
It's okay to not committing because there's only so many days in a lifetime and you got to pick and choose your battles. And it's, if you're going to say, I did not choose knitting to be my battle and I went down a different path and it's a pity that there isn't enough time to do everything. Like that, I get that. I get that's totally fine.
I am proud of the people who learned how to make sourdough and knit and
sourdough's not
all of these things. But, you know, the folks who made took advantage of the curveballs that 2020 has thrown people, you know, that's admirable. But I realize that there is a lot of strength in even just surviving these curveballs.
I've seen something very interesting in the world of cooking as well. People are starting to lose interest little by little in the sort of chef-y world of, like, cooking with caviar and black garlic and truffles and all that. And internet cooks, like, there's that... I can't remember his name. The obviously gay, obviously Californian guy who does historical cooking.
I don't know who you're talking about.
If I showed you, you'd be like, that is definitely a gay man and that is definitely a guy from California, for sure. I guess that you could say peasant cooking. Like one of the biggest explosions on the internet this year is this guy, he has a channel called Ordinary Sausage, and he just makes sausages out of things that he finds. The most recent episode, he took frozen cordon bleu and ground them and then made sausages out of them and was kind of disappointed by how bland they were. But the so far the best is the 6-piece KFC meal, including the coleslaw and mashed potatoes.
Wow.
All into one casing. And he said, weirdly enough, you can taste everything. And he gave it 5 out of 5. It was, wow. But yeah, no, this kind of like weird, like for lack of a better term, like peasant cooking or like, you know, here's an Italian who takes like 5 eggplants and a tomato and makes an amazing dish. Like,
but I think we're talking about, when I think about what my grandmother was cooking, you know, my grandmother, she grew up, she was a young girl in the Second World War. So she grew up in the post-war period in the UK and that was post-recession.
Yeah.
That's where they introduced a lot of like food rationing actually in the 50s in the UK. So everything that she would make, you know, she would make a beautiful blackberry crumble, but that's flour, eggs, sugar, and blackberries that she picked from the, the local area. And I think it's that unfussy, homemade, small amount of ingredients, not overly complicated.
Yeah.
Messy, sometimes messy food, and I think you're absolutely right that, and I think even sourdough maybe goes some way towards that. You know, it's not the most complex thing in the history of the world to make, but it harkens back to that rustic homeliness. And I think when we've been forced into our houses and sort of all these pressures of 2020, that sort of homeliness is really what's driving us forward.
People have time to actually cook. And then noticing they don't know how to cook and, oh my God, I don't know how to cook. I should learn how to cook. Like,
absolutely. And I think that, you know, those boxed meal plans kind of are playing into that because really it is a pre-portioned ingredients with very simple instructions on how to make what sound like very complicated dishes. And they're charging you for the pleasure of doing it.
Ragu bolognese has 5 ingredients, including salt. Like, it's finding out how we've been oversold, how complicated some of the fancy stuff is kind of bizarre.
Well, this is where we're at with 2020. We're going to just leave that with 2020. We're okay. We're okay. You're okay. Our listeners are okay. We're going to be okay. Well, with all of that being said, let's jump to our first couple of tracks. This is The Great Acceleration by Kelly Fleming. We are pulling all of our tracks today from the A-Shot distribution service. Kelly Fleming was hailed as the most original songwriting style in Vancouver by the Province newspaper, which is quite exciting.
Province has a newspaper?
No, by the name is called The Province newspaper. It's the name of the newspaper.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Is from Kelly Fleming, is from Vancouver. This track that we have chosen is called The Great Acceleration, followed by Walk Me Home from Vissia, from the Hurry Hard Records. And they are from Edmonton, Alberta. It's an alt-pop sound. And we actually quite like this track. So yes, like I mentioned, Great Acceleration, followed by Walk Me Home. And we will be back just after this.
Wanna stay and watch To answer, I'll never break under the weight of feeling small. And when I wake from my mistakes, I'm standing tall. Doesn't matter. I found reasons to believe in my own world without an answer. instead of running at the sun. Never thought I'd find a way to love every person I've become.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dick Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And this is Can Queer. Now, I did promise some folks some good news. And I'm going to deliver on my good news promise.
What's the good news that you found?
The good news is that there is now been a Pride Festival on every continent on the planet.
Including Antarctica.
The Arctic and the Antarctic just had a joint Pride Festival.
Okay.
The British Arctic Expedition. Or is it the British Antarctic Expedition? The one with the penguins, whichever one that is.
Okay.
They led a bipolar, as in the two poles. Not a medical condition. A bipolar Pride Festival this past week.
Would it be bipolar or dipolar?
It would be dipolar.
Dipolar, I think, implies that they're opposite. They are opposite. We'll call it dipolar.
Okay, because otherwise people get confused with the mental health condition.
Yeah.
So, the dipolar, two-polar, the two-polar expedition groups. And what they did is they sort of celebrated at the same time. They raised some prize flags. It was all very... I mean, there aren't an awful lot of people at either of these ends. They're mainly research teams.
Yeah.
But what they did is they crafted enamel pins where it's a little penguin and a little polar bear that has like rainbows encrusted into their bellies. And it's like a little polar bear penguin joint pin that both sides of the globe had. So we was literally like a worldwide, as in both widths of the planet celebrating Pride. What a lovely, heartwarming story.
What I like best is there's, at a good period where the research institutes are just hopping, you've got like 100 people total, which means they did it for the benefit of that one lesbian who fixes the plumbing.
I think there was like a one gay guy, or there was a researcher.
Yeah.
It's fine. And you know what? I love the little enamel pin because penguins are, sort of unique to the Arctic, the particular penguin they depicted.
Well, I mean, they're also in Australia and Patagonia. But yeah, they're South Pole.
Yeah, and the polar bears you only get in the North Pole.
Yeah.
So it was like a really cute little emblem of the two.
Which is why that Coke commercial was so triggering for a lot of biologists.
Because it was like...
penguins and polar bears playing with each other.
Like, no, that's not how this works. All right, the other good news, because, why stop there with our good news?
Okay.
Are you familiar with the country of Angola?
I know it exists. I know it's African West Coast, near the Bight of Africa, I do believe. Am I right? No, I'm not right, am I?
Well, it's going to be legal to be gay in Angola.
Oh.
As of February 2021. Now this, first of all, it's not great that it is currently illegal to be gay in Angola. But there is a 134-year-old colonial law that has been repealed in Angola, which is... this might seem like, wow, what it's kind of crazy that they're still holding on to this sort of anti-gay law.
Yeah.
But in a lot of countries that have these colonial era anti-gay laws, it has taken a lot to be able to shift them away again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very often British imperial colonial
and
laws.
The weird thing is these laws were barely observed in England. A lot of it is stuff like...
they were barely observed by the colonial authorities.
A lot of it was like, we didn't actually expect you to try to enforce these laws. It was just a bunch of stuff we put on some books as just like more of a moral guideline. We didn't expect it to become law. And not that forgives... anything. But it's very peculiar. There's a weird history to all this.
So the law from 1886 hasn't really been used recently. There aren't Angolans like locking people up for vices against nature.
Okay.
And that's not a new show on CBS. It's not the new crime drama. But rather, it is the law that's been used to refer to gay and lesbians. But what essentially, Angola has released a new penal code and a new penal procedure that was received assent in November. And as a result of that, they've just not carried over this vices against nature code bit. They're like, do we really need this? We haven't really enforced it. It's very old. It's very unnecessary. So let's just not copy-paste it over to the new law.
I mean, that's the number one reason why Canada stopped doing it. Because the whole legal battle was basically, wait a minute, how do we enforce this? You want to, do we spy on people? That's creepy. How do we, what? And it, yeah, it was just this whole, like, how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to go about doing this? Mm-hmm. And, like, we only arrest people if we...
Someone tells you about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess from an operational point of view, that's realistic, but something should be illegal whether you know about it or not. It's just you only arrest people if you do know about it. So, I mean, it's...
I feel like that's the same with all laws.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, though.
Oh, I see. So okay. It's I got confused for a second.
The unenforceability of it is just so bizarre.
Well, I mean, it's quite exciting because I think that, you know, it shows that Angola is heading in the right direction. They didn't really... enforce it anyway, but what it means is that they're not going to, you know, because it won't be in the new code. So that's exciting that this 134-year-old law that has no place in today's society is involved. Mm-hmm. In India, they have introduced a sort of online government documentation process.
Yeah, I did read about this.
And it's quite simple, it's quite easy, and essentially click, 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 and you've updated your government ID. But what they've done is they've now made it remarkably far more simple for trans folks to update their documentation in India, because they digitized it. So with a few clicks, trans folks who have been in sort of a paper legal limbo can just now move on with their lives and live their lives as their, you know, as their as self-identified gender.
It's so bizarre. So a quarter of my workplace, I mean, I work online, but still a quarter of my workplace is from India. And a common gripe is how hilariously backwards Canada is with regards to our use of technology. That, like, you know, that there was a, there's one lady, I mean, this lady was from Botswana, she wasn't from from India, but she complained that in order to rent a place, she had to give post-dated checks, and she had never handled a printed check in her life, because she's like, I'm from Botswana, we use the internet. Like, and then, you know, people from India coming here and then just absolutely complaining that, like, the government expects them to print something out, sign it, and scan it back in, or they want you to use a fax machine like it's 1997. Like, yeah, no, it's really peculiar. So yeah, India's been ahead on a lot of this stuff for quite some time. And it's I don't know, some of the stuff to do with updating your records. I mean, I'm willing to bet there might be like a nominal fee. Like in Canada, it's actually really easy to legally change your name. You just fill in the paperwork and you say, I'd like to swap my first name and middle name. I'd like to, you know, my parents gave me a hippie name, and I'd like the name Christopher to be spelled with a CH instead of an XR241, or like, I think, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk's new kid is going to, his kid's name is X, you know, the A with the E attached to it, and then an A. And I think it's supposed to be pronounced as Sasha, because the A with the E attached with that character is called an Ash. So if I were that kid, I would grow up and legally change my name to Sasha, but spelt.
You know, you know, we have a mutual friend, Alex in Toronto.
Yes.
And now Alex in Toronto went on a heck of an angry rant against FACTA, the music funding organization in Canada.
Okay.
And Grimes, Elon Musk's Canadian girlfriend from Calgary, I think is where Grimes is from. Because there was media reportage that FACTA had given a big grant, $100,000 or whatever, to Grimes' record label.
Okay.
And the griping was about the fact that Grimes is married, or not married, but dating the second richest person on the entire planet.
Okay.
And surely this individual does not need, you know, government funding to help their career. Well, FACTA issued a statement on this. noting that Grimes did not get any money.
Mm-hmm.
So the girlfriend of the richest man on the planet did not receive any of this funding.
Yeah.
And the fact that this record label happens to hold the rights to her music and is also a Canadian independent artist record label that helps other non-girlfriends of Elon Musk, Canadian independent artists, you know, create music, make CDs, distribute their music on digital networks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is that this label needed the money to help bolster the Canadian music industry, which is what the grant is designed for.
Yeah.
Like, no money went to Grimes. No money went to Elon Musk. It was just a mess. But no, when you mentioned Elon Musk's and Grimes's child, which has this weird name.
Yeah.
Well, Grimes has also been in the Canadian news because of this perceived funding malarkey. And it's all just, you know, a storm in a teacup, where the teacup wasn't even involved to begin with.
I mean, or you could say it's a much ado about nothing.
It was very much a much ado about nothing.
But still, absolutely. I mean, the point that I was trying to get at was the idea that it shouldn't be that hard to legally change your name. Because a lot of people illegally change their name for a lot of reasons. Whether they have hippie parents who gave them bad spellings for common names, or because they got married and they want to change their name. Like, there's a lot of pretty common reasons. You don't even need to get into trans rights, although this is obviously incredibly beneficial to people who are going through... They're adopting their chosen gender. So, I mean, there's a lot of potentially good stuff here, but there's a lot of things where it's just like, you know, we're doing it for the LGBTQ community. And then you're sitting there thinking, like, we should have done this in, like, the 20s.
Yeah.
Like, the 1920s, because it benefits a whole lot more than just us. And this is so... I mean, not in the case of changing your name online, because I don't think they could have done that.
No, that wasn't quite possible in the 2020s.
Because plastic didn't exist yet, let alone, like...
Yeah. The only way you could change your name in the 2020s online is if you wrote something, got a bit of paper, put it on the fishing line.
Yeah.
Or, like, your clothing line, and then change that.
Or lean out the window and hail a boy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, there is some interesting news coming out of China.
Okay.
And the interesting news out of China is there is like, what, 1.6 bajillion people there? I think the actual measurement is billion people.
Yeah, I think it's 2 or 3 billion, I think.
1.4 billion people.
Oh, okay. I was really overestimating.
In China. And they have now, the Chinese government has hired around 7 million people to go door to door across all of China. They do this once every 10 years for the census.
Right.
And what's really interesting is that there is a big campaign in China right now called the Not My Roommate, My Partner campaign.
Okay.
But obviously in Chinese. And the whole effort is to get LGBT people who live with their partners in China to actually tell the government, this is not just my roommate. This is actually my partner.
Mm-hmm.
China decriminalized homosexuality in 1997, and it was no longer a psychiatric disorder in 2001. There is no same-sex marriage. And broadly speaking, even though it's not illegal, the government has sort of turned a blind eye to it for decades.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The see no homos, hear no homos, speak no homos sort of approach.
There was a thing in the Maoist revolution about how it's counter-revolutionary, but it was more of just sort of like, let's pretend it doesn't exist kind of a thing.
And that's really what this campaign about is, you know, because normally LGBT folks in the census are recorded as housemates, flatmates, roommates. Yeah. Where, you know, you could be living together for 20 years with a child almost. Yeah. And, you know, you're a touch more than a housemate at that point. And that's really the effort. So when the census people come, they have to click other and handwrite couple into the box.
Okay.
But it is quite a big deal because only about 15% of even openly gay people have told their families.
Right,
like,
yeah.
In China, people aren't out and proud and telling everyone.
Mm.
But there is such an effort to get these closeted gay people to tell the government so that the government can get an idea that this isn't just a population that doesn't exist in China.
Yeah.
That there are LGBT people all over China. And that they're not just living with roommates, they're living with their partners.
I don't think the government's in denial that they exist. I think the government just thinks it's a couple dozen weird people. Like, I don't think they think it's as common and as widespread as it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't, maybe, and that's really what it is. If the government's own statistics shows a swell of numbers. You know, 1.4 billion people. That is tens of millions of LGBT folk that live across China. And certainly there's a case there to be made for maybe improving the rights and equal opportunities.
I like that they're doing an old-fashioned census, too.
Yeah, door-to-door.
Door-to-door.
Hi, yeah. How are you? I love it. All right, let's jump to a couple of songs. We are sticking to our theme of Canadian artists. Next up is Moscow Apartment. Now, Moscow Apartment played at the Community Radio Awards in 2019, and I absolutely adored them.
Okay.
They're a couple of, I think they're teenagers. They're very talented. I think they're fantastic. And I just love them immediately. They have self-identified on this as LGBT in some way.
Hmm.
So we are very thrilled to be able to include them in our lineup. This is Moscow Apartments with their title track, Moscow Apartment, followed by Don't Talk About It by Lenny Bull. And we will be back just after this. Welcome back to Can Queer. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian. You really struggled
with that. I really struggled with that for a second there. Let's jump to...
Were you distracted by this bowl of oranges?
I was distracted by...
Do you have dry, flaky skin and teeth that are falling out?
I do not have scurvy.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for your scurvy-related concern. you know what? I do like that at this time of year, you can get a little box of clementines for like $5. I mean, it's just so great. I like it. So in the UK, there are various tiers. The UK has really struggled with COVID-19.
Oh, yes.
And
well, it's because it came out of the gates with the worst plan possible. And then after a month, they're like, oh, no. Because they're doing the herd immunity approach, which a lot of people listed as a potential approach on paper and then immediately scratched it out.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, it'll work. Sweden did it. Sweden's fine. Well, if you look now, Sweden has actually updated its legal system so that they can impose lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, Sweden is now like, oh, honey, no.
Yeah, don't do it.
Anyway, there is a gay bar in London, which is one of the oldest, most prestigious gay bars. It is the Stonewall of London.
Okay.
Oh, you know, the Stonewall of Britain, the gay at heaven. It is really known across the whole country as being like the gay bar. And it is G-A-Y. It is called Gay.
Okay.
G-A-Y. And
when was it founded?
Long time ago. I don't have that date off the top of my head, but it's been there for like a bajillion years.
A metric or an imperial?
An imperial bajillion.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's old as dirt.
Oh my God.
But no, I mean, we're not that particular license establishment that's been there for that long, but it is a stalwart in British culture. Now, in the UK, under tier two regulations, pubs and bars have to serve a substantial meal.
Right.
Now, the word substantial here has had a lot of ridicule in the UK. Some of our Canadian listeners who follow British news may be aware of this. But famously, pubs that were selling just a burger is unsubstantial.
Right.
You need a burger with a side of fries or a burger with a side salad. But it cannot be just a burger.
Mm-hmm.
You can no longer just sell some pork scratchings, a bag of chips.
Is this related to the sort of phenomenon? What was it? Like a Jaffa cake is actually a type of bread, and so it can't be taxed because it's just bread, not a cake, or something like that?
No, that was the biscuit versus cake tax debate.
Okay.
Because I think biscuits are taxed, but cakes are not.
Okay.
So even though a Jaffa cake is clearly a biscuity type thing, it's... Or they class it as biscuits. Anyway, it was all just to avoid the tax.
Yeah, it was transparent, stupid.
So anyway, the pubs and bars in the UK, they're trying to encourage or discourage social gatherings. So they want people to be sat down, eating food, and not mingling, breathing on each other, you know, in these establishments. But G-A-Y I have in London... is a gay nightclub.
Right, yeah.
So they can't really, they don't really serve food at a gay nightclub, at least nothing. They may serve other things, but never really food.
I mean, it would be, you know, the classic cheese and onion crisps and a packet of peanuts, and that would be it.
Yeah, just small bar food.
Yeah, bar food.
So in order to be able to stay open, the gay bar has now decided that you can order McDonald's at the bar. And somebody out the back will call Uber Eats, put the order in, get it delivered, and then serve you this McDonald's. So that's how they're trying to stay open during this crisis is, they're going to Uber in some, I don't know if they're doing Uber or if there's a McDonald's down the road. But they're trying to partner with McDonald's to be able to serve substantial food and stay open.
Mostly I'm just disappointed they didn't make a partnership with a local kebab place or something, you know? Like there's... London is the home of a whole bunch of things. Like I know that India is associated with curry, but curry was actually a British invention. Like there is a precursor to curry that's been there for 1,000 years, but like one of the key ingredients is chili peppers, and that was brought in from North America. So it's actually like the melting pot of a lot of it doesn't matter. Anyway, McDonald's, why McDonald's and not like fish and chips or some local flavor? Or...
But it's triggered a lot of memes. So that somebody put out a meme where it's a picture of an older person recalling 2020 and saying, you know, you had to order McDonald's to get into a gay bar.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's illegal. Is an actual fact of life facing people in the UK. You can only legally enter a gay bar if you order McDonald's.
But if you're vegan or gluten intolerant, does that mean you're not allowed to go into gay establishments?
I'm sure McDonald's has some options.
It really doesn't.
Fries? Just fries?
No, but it's in the same oil as other stuff.
Oh, well, no, then you cannot go into this gay bar.
Yeah, I can't. I have my gay license revoked because I've got bloody celiacs.
So now you know, listeners, that if you find yourself in London trying to celebrate the nightlife, you have to order McDonald's. Otherwise, you will be illegally entering the premises.
I can't imagine dancing with a belly full of McDonald's.
Yes, that'll bring a whole new meaning to the Big Mac.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's all we got time for. There were some other stories that we chose not to. For example, the German military got compensation for unfair dismissals, historical unfair dismissals, which is quite exciting. And there is a brouhaha brewing in the Czech Republic where heterosexual marriages are allowed to have up to 15 people. But if there are genitals of the same kind getting married, it's only on an urgent basis.
It is impossible to have a marriage of more than 3 people without at least one matching pair.
But you can't have marriages of more than 3 people in the Czech Republic.
But wait, what was this about?
So in the Czech Republic, heterosexual marriages...
Yeah.
Can have up to 15 people, but homosexual marriages only have to be on an urgent basis, and you can't have anybody else show up to attend.
Oh, attendees!
So for COVID, they've allowed...
people getting married to each other. No. Okay.
For COVID, they've allowed up to 15 people for heterosexual marriages.
Okay.
But if you have the same genitalia, then suddenly you're no longer allowed your 15 people... And you're only able to get married if it's urgent.
Okay, okay. That's a very different story.
And everyone's like, why does my partner's genitalia affect whether or not this is urgent?
Mm.
Like, what a bizarre line to draw in the sand.
Or gender identity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's all we got time for. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And what are we playing out with?
We are playing out with, good question, Little Bones by Irish Maven. Yep.
All right, well, thanks for listening.
Little bone. children on the track. And mothers, they cry for babies never to come back. His love was being used in this way.